Now, this morning I want to talk about the importance of a name. You know, you can be in conversation with somebody and they'll mention a name and you immediately remember that person for maybe being in the Olympics and winning the gold medal or basketball. Right now around here, if you mention the name Shea Alexander or J-Dub or Chet Holmgren, you all think about the Oklahoma Thunder that's going to play in the NBA championship. But names are remembered because of some kind of accomplishment or something they did. I had in 2020, in my junior in high school, I went to Canville Bible Academy and ran track for them in 1957. And in 2020, they sent me a deal and said that I had been inducted into the Canville Bible School Hall of Fame for track, 1957. So I guess that's an honor. But names are important because they say something about the person. Hello. But they were especially important in the Bible. Genesis 17:5 in NLT says, "I'm changing your name. It will no longer be Abram, but instead you'll be called Abraham, for you'll be the father of many nations." Here we see God changed Abram's name to Abraham, which meant father of multitudes or father of nations. This actually helped Abraham to walk in faith and receive God's promise, because that didn't look like it was possible for quite a while. You know, the Bible, in the names in the Word of God, they represent the person and their identity. And if you'll notice, in many, as you read in the Word of God, especially they name the different names, the son of, because that was important to them. You know, today we don't do it very often, but if you do happen to write a check to somebody, they can take that check to the bank and present it to the cashier at the bank, and that because that check has your name signed on it, that's as if you are standing there asking for that amount of money and that teller gives it to them. See, your name authorizes that transaction. You know, you sign your name. How many of you have a credit card? How many of you just used it just yesterday somewhere? But when you signed your name, that authorized that person or company to take a certain amount of money out of your check and so forth and so on. It gave authorization. Now, there's a name I want to ask you about this morning. It's named Jesus. You know, the problems in our society today are great, but our intelligence and our power and our resources alone can't fix the problem. We need the power of God. And the name of Jesus is the most powerful name that you can ever speak. It brings God into the solution. It brings the power on high to help us in times of crisis. You know, if you want to do an in-depth study into the name of Jesus, I recommend my dad's book, The Believer's Authority, and a book that out there has got my name on it. It's called Jesus' Name Above All Names. I think it's one of the best. But of course, you know all of my books. I've taught and preach from right here, and they just take them and put them into a book. You know, the name of Jesus is a name that stands above all others. it's not just a label, it's a declaration. It represents God and all he has. That name carries power and authority that no other name has. Now, because of my position here, my name carries some authority with it. When I sign a document or give a message to somebody, that's a power, but nothing compared to the power in the name of Jesus. Many of you in your employment, what you do, your name carries weight. It carries power because you can do that. You know, as a representative, when I was in the U.S. Army, as a representative in the Army, I was representing the United States of America, and that gave me, in the position that I operated in, that gave me power to do that job. Now, we have our officer that's usually here on Sunday morning. He'll be out walking around. Sometimes he's in here, but he's out there in the lobby. He's out there, you know, and he helps direct traffic. How many of you notice you're going out? He's out there, you know. He's not doing that on his own. He's doing it from the power that was given to him through being a part of the Broken Arrow Police Department. So the city of Broken Arrow is behind him. Hello. You see, that's what we need. That's what we need to realize when we have the name of Jesus. It's not us doing it, but the power behind us. You know, some people think, well, that's just the name we use to end our prayers with. No, it should be a part of our lives daily. It's our identity. It should be our lifestyle. It's the power we live by. The name of Jesus just is not to be used in church. It should be a part of your everyday life. Our families, businesses, and ministries would be a lot stronger and a lot better if we would just use the name of Jesus speaking over them. Now, I want to look at several things about the name of Jesus that I believe that will make us live a better life and walk in victory. Jesus is the name that brings salvation. Acts 4:12. And there is no salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. Here, Peter is declaring boldly that there is no other way to salvation except through Jesus Christ. It's plain to say, God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. That's why we speak the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus brings a spiritual rebirth and everything that goes with it. Healing, safety, deliverance, victory. The name of Jesus has power to break the chains. And we're just singing about it. Break every chain. Break every chain. That name. The name of Jesus. You know, when you call on the name of Jesus, there is a power there. You cannot begin to say the name of Jesus over and over very many times without you actually begin to feel a difference in the atmosphere. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We take authority over the devil with the name of Jesus. And we need to learn to take authority with the name of Jesus and ask God to send laborers who can connect with our family members and share with them the gospel. Most of the time they won't listen to you. You know, I mean, my family, that's just Kenneth Wayne, you know. I mean, and you're probably the same way. But you know what? You can pray in the name of Jesus that laborers will cross their paths, that they will listen to and come to Christ. See, so many times we do not really realize the power in the name of Jesus. You know, sometimes people are praying for victory and asking God to give them victory, and they don't even have to pray. All they got to do is use the name of Jesus. It's already been given to you. Now, Jesus is a name that opens doors. In John 14, 13, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Here, Jesus is saying that if you ask in his name, then he'll do it. The name of Jesus gives us access to the throne room. The name of Jesus releases the power of God into our lives. The name of Jesus releases every promise in this book right here, the Bible. The name of Jesus brings a power, as I've already said, into any situation. When you find yourself overwhelmed and not knowing what to do, just begin to speak the name of Jesus. You know, a story in Smith Wigglesworth's book, he was visiting a man named Lazarus in Wales who had broken down physically and been working in the mines and then preaching in the evenings, and he had gotten tuberculosis. And now he had gotten bitter because people had prayed for him and he hadn't gotten healed. So Wigglesworth gathered seven other people around the bed and just began to speak the name of Jesus over and over again. They didn't pray. They just began to speak Jesus, 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 until he repented from being bitter and the power of God came down and healed him. Now, I know that Wigglesworth lived a long time ago, back in the 30s, but there's a book called Ever Increasing Faith. Any of you ever read it? If you've never read that book, it would pay great dividend for you to read the book, Ever Increasing Faith. My dad always carried that book with him when he traveled. Actually, he would carry a suitcase full of books, an old Samsonite. I've got it here somewhere. I brought it out one time, showed him. And every time he would come back off, maybe be gone several weeks and come in from preaching, and he'd put in different more books because he'd read those. But he always had Ever Increasing Faith. Now, they were hardbacks, and I know he wore out four of them because I know about it. I was there. But it would behoove you to read that book if you've never read Ever Increasing Faith by Smith Wigglesworth. Now, the name of Jesus, as I've said, taps into the power of God, but it also opens the door of all of the resources of heaven. Every promise in here, Jesus' name, will release it. Now, Jesus, it's a name with supernatural power. Now, Jesus talking in Mark told his disciples, these miraculous signs shall accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hand on the sick, and they will be healed. Now, all of this is done in my name, the name of Jesus. Demons flee. Diseases are healed. Miracles happen. The supernatural is released. Now, that was spoken to the disciples. But that, are you a disciple of Christ? If you are, that belongs to you too. To every person that's a born-again Christian by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus is there for you to use in your life. And through that name, you have power over sickness and disease, demons, and even nature. Because Jesus spoke to the wind and it ceased. Through Jesus personally had that power. And through his name that he's given us, we have power over the same things. Through the name of Jesus, we're more than conquerors to all of those things. Through the name of Jesus, we walk in victory. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. You know, you need to realize wherever you're at, you're never alone. There may not be anybody within miles of you, but you're never alone. You always have Jesus with you. He said, the supernatural power of God is with you. You know, we used to sing a song, he's as close as the mention of his name. Anybody ever heard that song? You know, Dad, he only pastored those three churches that I remember. Actually, I think he pastored four, really, but that was before I was there. And he would travel in the traveling ministry. And I'd stay with my grandmother, his mom. We called her Pat's Mama. We didn't call her Grandma, but we all called her Pat's Mama. Because Ruth, the oldest cousin, my cousin Ruth, she couldn't say grandmother or grandma, but Uncle Pat, my dad's youngest brother, she could say Pat and Mama, and she was trying to tell her mother, my aunt, my dad's sister, Olita, about something about her grandmother and her mother. She wasn't Lita wasn't understand what she was saying. And she said, you know, Pat's Mama. And so that became her name. You know, it's funny how these things stick with people through the years. And that's all anybody ever called her. Everybody called her that. Of course, Craig and Denise remember this. Lynette's mom and dad, everybody called them grandmother and granddaddy. That's all. Even I did that, and Lynette did that. We did. That's just, but that happens, you know. So I said all that because at Pat's Mama, I was staying with Pat's Mama. So okay, we're talking about names, see. And those names, you get those names for different reasons. All of my grandsons, I'm Poppy. You know, they know me as Poppy. Did you realize you are in different circles where you're at? You're known by your name, and it's not always your name. I mean, in grade school, fifth grade, Miss Ward's class, the fifth grade, and then the sixth grade was in Miss Glenn's class. And Of course, we usually classes back then, I don't know how they do it now, but we all moved together. How many of you there, the people you were in the first grade with, they moved through the years with you all the way to graduation? Well, there was five or six of us that was named Ken, Kenny, or Kenneth. So we had to figure out names for everybody. So Kenneth Leatherwood become Leather. Kenneth Hagin become Hagin. I become Hagin. Hunter, Kenneth Hunter, he become Hunter. We used to call him Hunter. We called him by the last name. And then, you know, that's just the way we did it. You know, and I go back, if I go back down to my hometown, if somebody hollers Hagin, I know it's somebody I grew up with. If they call me Kenneth Wayne, then it's family or somebody that grew up with me. It's like family. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We're talking about names, right? We're talking about the name of Jesus, the highest and most powerful name that there is. You know, many of you, like Lynette and Denise, they don't go by their first name. Even Wesley there, he doesn't go by his first name. Actually, I can't tell you what Lynette's first name is. I'll tell about Denise's. She can explain it. Her name is Kimberly Denise, but she goes by Denise. How many of you go by your middle name? You don't go by your... A lot of people do that. And because when we begin to realize it, our name carries a different sense depending on what group we are with. Okay? Now, I'm called pastor. But some people don't call me pastor. Some of the early Rhema grads, if I see them graduated in earlier years, they just call me Ken or Kenneth. But that's just the way it is. God, so there with Pat's mama, I was staying with her, and our bed was like this, and there's windows right here beside the bed, and I was sleeping on this side. I was five and a half years old, and there's that summer before I turned six in September, and she was here. Now, Pat's mama was blind, not from a disease, but from my dad was born in 1917, and this was right after he was born. She had some eye problem, and the doctor put something in her eyes, and that was it. You know, that's what happened back in those days. And so I guess I sort of woke up, and I heard her just saying, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." I don't know. She was very perceptive, and she had a hearing like anything. I mean, all of us kids, all the grandkids, we'd try to trick her, you know, and one grandkid would go up in front of her and the other grandkids back behind the door over here, and they would say, "Hello." And she'd say, "Well, Kenneth Wayne, you're over behind the door. George Irvin, you're standing right here in front of me." And then she'd say, "Don't you all realize your voices are different?" But she said, "Besides that, every one of you have a different walk. I can tell your walk." She even could tell. I'd be in the house, and she'd say, "Hey, go to the front door. The insurance man just drove up out there." Back then, of course, y'all don't know nothing about this. The insurance man come by, and you pay your bill at the as he come by. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, I got a few people know what I'm talking about. So I'm saying, so I just said real quietly, "What's the matter?" She said, "Somebody's trying to break in there in the window." So I turned over, and yes, sure enough, there's a guy there. He had the screen off. It's summertime. We didn't have an air conditioner, so we just had the windows wide open. And he would try to get in the window, and he'd lift his leg, try to step into the in, and he never could. She just kept saying the name of Jesus. Now, the reason people always trying to break into her house, because Grandpa Drake, my great grandpa, he had a lot of property and so forth and so on. Depression hit and so forth, but they had it out that he had left his blind daughter all this money, and she had it in a trunk in her closet. Well, there wasn't nothing in that trunk but quilts. I can tell you that for sure. But, you know, she just kept saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, my dad was back in late 40s, probably 48, 49, somewhere in there, preaching down to Overton, Texas, and the congregation could see it. The man got mad because his wife come and got saved, and there was windows behind here, behind the platform, and there was a guy there with a rifle. And he would pull the rifle up, and then he'd put it down and shake his head. And the people, Dad didn't ever know it. People in the congregation knew it. He finally left. Well, they kept, people in the congregation just praying, kept saying, Jesus, Jesus. And later on, he got saved, and he said that every time he would pull the weapon up, that there would be a black curtain come between him, and he couldn't see anything in the church at all. See, there's power in the name of Jesus. It's the name that we speak. Let's look in Acts, the third chapter. As they approached the temple, a lame man from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently and said, "Look on us." The lame man looked at them, eagerly expecting money, but Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up and stood on his feet, began walking, then leaping and praising God, he went into the temple with them. Then in Acts 3:16, Peter said, "Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed." And you know how crippled he was before faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. I want you to notice nothing happened until Peter spoke the name of Jesus. He said, "I don't have any silver and gold, but I'm going to give you what I have." What did he have? He had the name of Jesus. What do you have? You have the name of Jesus. It wasn't until he spoke the name of Jesus that something happened. You know, too many people lose out because they don't use the name of Jesus. Speak the name of Jesus to change your situation. Speak the name of Jesus over all your circumstances. Live with the authority that you have in the name of Jesus. Resist the enemy in the name of Jesus. You know, put your mouth in action with the name of Jesus, and the power of God will go into action. You know, it doesn't take much faith. A lot of people all talk about faith, faith, faith. But sometimes we all need faith, but sometimes you don't need faith. You just need to speak the name of Jesus. Come on now. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not minimizing faith and believing in God, but I'm trying to get it across to you that sometimes you don't have to say, "I'm believing God." Just speak the name of Jesus to it. Hello? Come on now. See, You know, I've told this story before, but, you know, I was in the service. I was serving over in Taipei, Taiwan, and we were on our 72-hour break that we had because I worked in the comm center, and it's 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Or if it's leap year, it's 366 days a year. I mean, there's a crew of us on. We had four of us on. Three would be on duty. One, we'd be on 72-hour break. Then we'd come back in. They'd go on. And there's three of us on, groups of us that were on duty. So we were taking a little motorcycle trip down the island, and we were driving, coming back. And to make a long story short, we come around a curve, and sometimes in those mountains, if you've ever been there, wind can be blowing, and it took my bike, and it moved me, and I'm sliding over the edge. Now, I didn't have time to have a prayer meeting. I didn't have time to call a fast. I'm sliding toward a 1,000-foot drop-off. And I'm doing everything I know to do in the natural, kicking the ground and trying to get that bike straightened up, kick the gears down, trying to get it to go, and nothing was happening. I just started hollering, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And the next thing I know, I hit the pavement, the back tire squealed, I run up on the grass, come back down, and stopped in the middle of the road, standing there on off of the bike. And I was riding the smallest bike. I only had a 150 Honda, and the others, some of the guys had 650s and 250s and 300s. And so they all realized I was on the back of the group because I was wide open trying to keep up with them because they had a lot stronger bikes than I had. And if you've ever rode a motorcycle, the faster you go, the less gravity you have. And it's pretty easy for those things to start sliding sideways on you if you're not careful going around a curve. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody rode bikes know what I'm talking about? You going around a curve, you don't have much traction on those tires anyway, because up here you got the whole bit. When you're going around a curve, you only got the side. And if you hit a little bit of sand or a little bit of oil or water, it's usually Katy barred the door. I've been there, done that. But I just used the name of Jesus. And when those guys turned around and they shined their lights and you could see where my back tire slid right to the edge, and one old boy said, man, edge of your tire caught on that and throwed you back. I said, I didn't have nothing to do with it. I knew what happened. God reached down, flipped that bike back up where it belonged. But you see, sometimes you don't have time to call a prayer meeting. You don't have to got time to go on a fast. But you do have the name of Jesus, and all you got to do is utter it. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When you're facing a problem, begin to speak Jesus. Philippians 2:9. Therefore, God elevated him to a place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. Let me leave you with this. John 16:23. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. He is telling this to his disciples before he's fixing to leave. This was him speaking to the disciples before his death on the cross. And we're his disciples too. So this is to us. He said, up until then, they could ask him. Now he said, ask the Father in my name. You see, when they would use his name, it was the same as Jesus asking the Father. Hello? Learn to use the most powerful name ever was or ever will be, the name of Jesus, and you'll see your situation change. Use the name of Jesus, and you'll see that everything will begin to change. The atmosphere around you will become different. Everything in you will become different, and you will realize that the name of Jesus brings the power. It's not you. It's not your faith, although you need faith, but it's using my name, the name that is above every name, the name that has conquered every demon in hell, the name that has stood against everything, and nothing has ever been able to come against it or stand against it, because my name is the name of power and great reward. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything out of that this morning? Don't forget to use the name of Jesus.